when somebody's half dead serving me. I remember when we were growing up, we used to go to this man's store. We would bring our stuff to the cash register, and he would be licking over his glass. He'd be like, what else? He would just have the deepest droning voice. What else? Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. We welcome all of you who are joining us by television and those of you joining us at airjesus.com. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned to today's message. Today we're doing part three of something we started a couple of weeks ago, the third and final part, entitled What Makes God Happy. What makes God happy? Now, I share a little humor. I actually heard this a few weeks ago, and I made a note of it from Pastor Joel Osteen. He tells some good ones from time to time, and I make mental notes when it's a good one that strikes me. So I made a note of this one. But anyway, there was a doctor who was out in town, and he spotted one of his patients, elderly man. And the man was looking good. He was just beaming from ear to ear. He had a beautiful young lady with him. And the doctor stopped him. He said, hey, he said, what happened to you? He said, when you were in my office a few weeks ago, you looked horrible. But now you look great. What has happened? The old man said, doc, he said, I did exactly what you told me to do. You told me to get a hot mama and to be cheerful. The doctor said, that's not what I told you. I said, you have a heart murmur and to be careful. I have to thank Pastor Joel for that one. Have to send him an offering. Open your Bible, if you will, to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Remember, Zephaniah is right there at the end of the Old Testament, right two or three books behind Malachi. So just flip to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, then flip back to the left two or three books, and you'll run into a small book, the book of Zephaniah. We've been studying there for the last few weeks, Zephaniah chapter 3. An interesting little book. It's only three chapters. Very powerful little book, some powerful messages in Zephaniah, some powerful meanings. And it's so small, it's one of those little books we have a tendency to skip over and don't even realize it's in the Bible. But it's a powerful, powerful message in Zephaniah. I've been enjoying it. Let's begin at verse 17, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. We'll read through verse 20. Let's begin reading verse 17. When you get there, say amen. Verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. Ready? Read. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Sometimes we forget that. And so he reminds us. Oh, you serve a mighty God. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time, I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And we focused on verse 17, where it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And so we use as a subject this little mini series, what makes God happy? What makes God happy? We love the picture there in verse 17 of God rejoicing, God singing, God joying over you and rejoicing over you. And so this question was posed, what makes God happy? And I've searched the book of Zephaniah as best I could and sat quietly before the Lord to just receive from him and to search the scriptures to answer this pivotal question. What is it that makes God happy? Because we have a picture here of God rejoicing and just being so happy over his people and doing wonderful things. And so what is it that stimulates God to be happy with us in our lives? And Zephaniah has two major truths that I've kind of grabbed a hold of. And truth number one is God is happy when we are in right relationship with him. When he is the object of our love and devotion, and when we are recognizing him and acknowledging him and his love toward us, and when he's able to fully express his love and goodwill toward us, this is the major part of his happiness, is the relationship of him and his people. When we're in right relationship with God. In fact, one of my commentaries said it this way. It says, he loves to love us. He loves to love us. God loves. That's one of the things that gives him so much joy. He loves to love us. He loves to love us. So when we're in right relationship with God, when God's people are in right relationship with him, when our hearts are grateful and we acknowledge him and recognize him, his loving care of us, and we are able to express that love toward him and to him and live out that love, that makes God so happy. I experienced this relationship. I've talked about my little baby daughter quite a bit, but recently something new she started doing that just melts my heart. Every time I walk by her, she now just holds her hands out. Just holds it. And I mean, man, this just melts your heart. I don't care how fast I'm walking or how busy I am. There's no way I can resist that. It is no way. She just holds her hands out toward me. And I have to stop. She gets me I don't care what's going on. I don't care if the house is on fire. If I see those hands out, I got to stop and pick her up. And it brings me so much joy just to see those outstretched hands. And Lord, we lift our hands to thee. We lift our hands to thee. No other help we know. If thou withdraw thyself from us, whither shall we go? And I understand that love. God loves us, and that's the reason we raise our hands in the sanctuary and we lift our hands to him. You need to practice raising your hands to God and loving him and wanting him and desiring him. Well, that makes God happy. That's one of the things, his relationship with us. It makes him happy. The second powerful truth I realize in Zephaniah is he expresses the power of restoration. God is a restorer. And this truth is really brought out in Zephaniah here in chapter 3. God brings restoration. He talks of a time of restoration. And I love this about God. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you have failed, No matter how miserable you've been in sin, no matter what you have been through in life, God is a God of restoration. If you come to God and you ask for his mercy, you ask for his forgiveness, God then goes into action to begin to restore your life, not just back to where it was, but better than where you were before you went down into all of that depravity. He's a God of restoration. And so I love it. He says, bring those people in who were sorrowful. And he says, I'm going to undo all that afflict you. Notice he's talking about restoration. There was a time of judgment. Yes, there was a time of hard times. There were a time they had to learn a lesson. But God said, I'm also the God of restoration. I don't punish you forever. I don't teach you a mean lesson forever. No, God believes in restoration. When you learn your lesson and when your heart is contrite and when you are truly repentant, God begins to restore your life. And this is, I didn't realize restoration was so big with God, but it is. He's a restorer. He doesn't hold it against you. He's in the business of restoring. You remember when the prodigal son returned home? One of the things that made the father happy was the fact that his lost son was home, and he immediately went into restoration. He threw a party. He said, bring me a ring. Kill the fatted calf. Come and put a robe on him. Notice all of those things are restoring that son into his proper place of sonship. He immediately moved into restoration. He didn't blame him. He didn't curse him. He didn't tell him all he had done and how he had squandered all of his money. No, God saw that son was repentant. He had learned his lesson. He immediately was in the business of restoration. Folks, I want you to know that God has a powerful plan to restore your lives, to restore your lives, to restore your life. He's happy to do it. Notice in that story, he threw a party. It shows God's happy. This is one of the things I realized that makes God happy. He's happy to restore us. He said, hey, start the music. Bring in the calf. He said, let's have a party. He was happy over a son who was lost, who had been restored. It's one of the things that makes God happy. God is happy about planning your future. He's happy about when you've made mistakes and you've come out of sin and you've come out of failure. God's happy about the bright and glorious future that he has prepared for you. That's one of the things that makes him happy. I was listening to a testimony, I believe it was on CBN 700 Club, of this young lady, and she was on there telling her story of restoration. And it was a powerful story. I was actually in the gym one morning working out, and I just happened to have my earphones, and I tuned in and listened to it. It was a powerful story, this young lady, and she began to tell everything that she had gone through in her life, that as a young child, she had been molested over a number of years, sexually abused. And she said she came out of that and went right into teenage pregnancy. And she said she went right out of that into an abusive relationship. She was beat and she was abused emotionally, physically. She said she went right out of that, had another child. And now she says she's a single mother raising two children. And she said somebody told her, well, why don't you just go get a job in the strip club and you can make a lot more money than trying to get two jobs. And they said, you don't have to strip, you just be a waitress. And she said she went there and took their advice, got a job. But she said in that environment, in that scene, next thing you know, she was now using drugs. She got hooked on cocaine, and now she was now entertaining men, and now she did become a dancer and stripper. And she just talked about all of the way her life just spiraled downward. She eventually ended up in jail after being caught with drugs. And she said she just hit rock bottom. And she said one of her friends said, have you tried praying? And she said one day she just got on her knees, fell on the floor, and just prayed a simple prayer. She said, God, if you are real, come into my heart, live in my life. She said she prayed that. And she said when she prayed that simple prayer from the bottom of her heart, she said something happened. She says something happened. Long story short, she ended up going to business school, getting her degree. She ended up meeting a wonderful man and the husband of her dreams. She had three beautiful children, ended up owning her own business. And then she ended up with a wonderful ministry of restoration to women who've gotten caught up in drugs and that nightlife and that type of life. And it was a glorious, and I said, my God, what a picture of restoration. God is a restorer. God is a restorer. restore. He always, so you don't have to worry about no matter what you've been through, where you are right now. That's not the end result. God wants, he has a beautiful plan of restoration for your life. God wants to take you to your destiny. He wants to take you to your glorious future. And this is one of the things I found that's very dear to the heart of God. It's one of the things that makes him happy. He loves to forgive us. He loves to forgive us. He loves to restore us. He loves to have compassion on. He's happy to tell your neighbor, say, he's happy to forgive. He is happy to forgive. You know, there, I found a verse in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 18. It says, God delighteth in mercy. He's happy to forgive. And it goes on talking about forgiveness there. God actually gets happy when somebody comes to him in a true repentant heart. God is happy to forgive. He's happy to forgive. It gives him great joy. And some people are so afraid. They feel like they've done such wrong and they could never be forgiven. No, they have the wrong concept of God. God is actually happy. He can't wait for you to come to him and to ask. He's a restorer. So God is a restorer. So he's happy. He's excited to undo some things. Undo. I love that in Zephaniah 3 at the end of the chapter. Undo those things that were afflicting you. Turning your captivity. Changing some things. Turning some things around. In other words, God said, I will restore your life. I will restore your life. That's one of the things that makes God happy. Aren't you happy that makes God happy? He loves to restore us. Turn over to Zephaniah 3 where you are. Look at verse 2. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 2. Here are some concise things he puts in verse 2 in chapter 3. Some things that makes God happy. And I begin to list them out. These were actually the things that made God unhappy. And so I said, well, if they made God unhappy, all we got to do is do the opposite of them. That'll make him happy. Does that make good sense to you all? Well, here we go. Look at Zephaniah 3, chapter 3, verse 2. They obeyed not the voice. So one thing that makes God happy, when we obey him, that makes him happy. Look at there. It says, she received not correction. So I turn that around. When we remain teachable, that makes God happy. Notice this, she trusted not in the Lord. Well, when we trust him, that makes him happy. He's given us all these things, and I saw it right here in verse 2. He started dropping them. Look at the final part. She drew not near to her God. When we draw near to God, that makes him happy. And so I saw just in that verse, when we obey him, it makes him happy. When we remain teachable, it makes him happy. When we trust him, it makes him happy. When we draw near to him, it makes him happy. And also somewhere else in Zephaniah, I found this one. When we seek him, when we inquire of him, it makes him happy. In other words, when we ask God, when we just stop in our busy lives, doing our own things, calculating our own plans, when we just stop and say, God, what do you think about this? That makes him happy. When you inquire of him, when you seek him, when you include God, when you acknowledge him first and say, hey, God, before I do this, what are your thoughts on that? Let me sit quiet. What's your heart? Let me search your heart. When we do that, that makes God happy. I found that was one of the things I found in Zephaniah that he didn't like because they didn't seek him. They didn't inquire. They just did their own thing. They went their own way. So when we seek him, when we inquire of him, when we ask him, search his heart, that makes him happy. And I'm going to run through a list of these things that I found throughout different scriptures throughout the Bible that makes God happy. Here's one. God is happy when we are happy. This makes him happy. In the Gospel of John, you don't have to turn there, but John 15:11, Jesus said, I've said these things to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so he's showing us there that he wants us to be cheerful. He wants us to be bright. He wants us to be full of joy. So when we're happy, that makes God happy. Turn to your neighbor and smile and say, when you're happy, that makes God happy. And so he wants us not just to obey him, but to cheerfully obey him. And so, you know, anytime we add cheerfulness, not just to be a giver, but the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Notice that. God loves a cheerful giver. So it makes him happy when we are happy. So we're cheerful in our obedience, cheerful in our giving, cheerful in our service. You know, cheerful is serving. You know, whenever you're out, maybe at a restaurant or in a business establishment, you don't like it when somebody is waiting on you and they're grumpy, do you? No, we want somebody that's delightful and cheerful and got some spunk in them. I hate it when somebody's half dead serving me. I remember we were growing up, we used to go to this man's store. We would bring our stuff to the cash register and he would be licking over his glass. He's like, what else? And you know, he would just have the deepest droning voice. What else? And I remember that from just a child. And you know, every time we put something on the counter, what else? He had no cheerfulness. You know, but you know, we want people to be cheerful. We want people to be cheerful when they serve us, to be delightful. And so that's God. It makes him happy when we... I'm serious. I was about 10 years old, but I cannot get that man out of my head. What else? He had this adjustment. He was just so boring and dry and stale. I like something that Mother Teresa said. Mother Teresa was asked the requirements for people assisting her work with the destitute in Calcutta. And she cited two requirements for anybody that wanted to assist her. These are two things that she required. Number one, she required they had a desire to work hard. Number two, she required that they have a joyful attitude. I thought that was interesting. Even working among the poorest of the poor and working among these people who were near death, Mother Teresa was joyful. She was joyful. And that was those two things she required. She said, if you're going to work with me, you got to work hard and you got to have a joyful attitude. And so that's one of the things that makes God happy is when we are happy. Turn to your neighbor and say, be happy. Be happy. Turn over. I've read this psalm. Turn over to Psalms 149. We're running out of time, but I want to get in as much as I can. Go to Psalms 149 quickly. Psalms 149. I read it and I saw we're even to be happy in our praise. Look at this. Psalms 149. Look at verse 1. I don't have time to wait on you, but just go to Psalms 149 verse 1. Look at this. It says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Look at verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. In other words, God takes pleasure in these kind of people. These kind of people that are joyful and praising. He takes pleasure in that. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Notice verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. And let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. God, it makes him happy when you're happy. Makes him happy when you are happy. Let's look at some others. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. I'm definitely running out of time. Proverbs 15, I'm intending to get this in, and I'm going to get it in. Proverbs 15, verse 8, look at this. It makes God happy when we pray. Proverbs 15, verse 8, it makes him happy when we pray. Notice this, the sacrifice, Proverbs 15, 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Makes him happy. It makes him happy. It makes him happy when we pray. It makes him happy when we are blessed. It makes God happy to bless us. Psalms 35, 27 says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So God is happy when you're blessed. He's happy to bless you. I remember a blind man came not a blind man, but a leper came to Jesus and he said, you can heal me if you will. One translation says, you can heal me if you take delight in healing me. If you have pleasure in healing, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will. In other words, he said, I do take delight in healing you. I do take pleasure in healing you. Jesus was happy to heal him. God is happy to see us well. I tell people that to come to our God heal service, people that come to heal, I let them know up front, God's happy to heal you. God, it's a joy for him to heal you. It's a delight for him to heal you. He's happy to see us blessed. He's happy to see us well. Here's another one I found in scripture, Hebrews 11:6. You don't have to turn there, but it makes God happy when we have faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. In other words, you can't make him happy without faith. And so God gets, he gets happy when you show and exhibit faith and live out faith. That makes him happy. When you're not worried and when you're not stressed out and when you're not all uptight, but when you have confidence and when you have trust in God and when you have your faith in him, that makes him happy. Well, we're talking about some things. I'm going to take just another minute here to finish up. I believe here's something that makes God happy. When we exercise our authority over the devil, that makes God happy. When God sees you putting the devil under your feet and keeping him there, that makes God happy. He loves to see you operate the same way he operates. And so that makes him happy. It makes God happy when we pass the tests of life. When you're tested, whenever you're tested, you always have two choices. And you got to remember, you got two choices. I can pass it or I can fail it. I can be cheerful or I can be grumpy. I can be victorious. I can be defeated. You always have two choices when a test shows up in your life. You always got to realize, which one am I going to choose? You always have two choices. God's happy when you always make the right choice when the test of life show up in our lives. I'm going to give you these last couple and I'm finished. God's happy when we love our neighbor. He's happy when we walk in forgiveness and love and do for others and be a blessing and help and forgive and bless us. He's happy when we love our neighbors, when we walk in love, and your neighbor begins right in your own household. Don't go out loving your neighbor and folks mad at you at home. So God loves you when you love your neighbor. And here's a final couple I'm going to give you, and I'm closing with this. God loves you. God is happy when we relieve the oppressed. That's found in Isaiah 1:17. When we relieve the oppressed, God is happy. When you make life better for somebody else, when those who are destitute and without, when you help them, that makes God happy. When you're compassionate toward those who are without, the hurting, the widows, the orphans, and so on, that makes God, that's very dear to his heart. And here's the final one. Here's something I found that really makes God happy. When we are fair and honest and just in our dealings. When we are fair, honest, and just in our dealings, that makes him happy. When we're not living hypocritical and crooked lives, but with lives filled with integrity and sincerity, that makes him, when we do what's right because it's right, that makes him happy. One scripture actually talking about not living a crooked life. I like some Pastor Dale said, he says some people are so crooked when they die, they had to be screwed into the ground. And so the Bible is very careful, talks about not living a crooked life, but when we live a life that's fair, honest, and just, that makes God happy. I want those of you who are listening to go to airjesus.com. You can listen to this message, message number 7435 in its entirety. What makes God happy? You can also email it to a friend absolutely free of charge. But thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This was the third and final part in the What Makes God Happy sermon by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 7435. That's 7435. The first part is number 7433 and the second part is number 7434. To listen to both messages, go to theonlineword.com. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.